All right, well, we're going to turn to John 8:31 this morning, if you would. I'm going to pick up where we left off last week. We're not going to, we were talking about the presence of God, and we're going to kind of move on, but just pick up where we were talking about the Word and talk about meditating on the Word. We talked about it some last week, but we're just going to reiterate some things and talk specifically about meditating the Word. Kind of threw that on at the end last week, and I just wanted to spend some more time on it. So John 8:31. There it says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" And those are such powerful statements. If you abide in my word, and we said that the word is Jesus. If you just hold your finger there in John 8:31 and just flip back to the beginning of John, and in John chapter 1. John 1:1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." So it goes on to talk about Jesus. Now, we'll just go ahead and read through. In verse 6, let's just keep reading. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe." He's talking about Jesus, of course, all this. "He was not that light." John was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. "That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." That's powerful. "Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So in verse 14 it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus, the Word, when it was talking about in verse 1, that Word that has been eternal, it says in verse 14, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So in verse 14, it says the Word became flesh. Jesus became flesh. The Word is Jesus. He is God. If we read back in verse 1 again, "In the beginning was the Word." Jesus has been eternal. He's called the Word. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." God is the Word. He is. It's not like this is a bunch of words here that on a piece of paper. This is God himself. He can't separate his word from him. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, because Jesus is the Word. This whole book is about Jesus. It's life. This is not just words that we read. When we partake of the Word, it's actually life, because we're partaking of God. Let's just keep reading these first few verses again. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. The Word. All things were made through this Word. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. In him was life. The Word, life is in the Word. You know, somebody said this, that people think there's life in all different kinds people think there's life in different areas, and whatever they think there's life in, that's what they're going to pursue. Some people think there's life in exercise. Not that exercise isn't good, but some people, they spend all types of time in the gym, and they're exercising all the time because that's where they believe life is. And some people think it's in vacations. And I read this recently. Somebody was saying this. They think it's in vacation. So every time they can get, they're on vacation, they're relaxing. They think they absolutely have to have it. Not that relaxing is bad. You know, you need all these things. You know, some people think it's in work. But that's life. Boy, they, you know, if you have a job that you love, that's where life is. There's nothing wrong with having a job that you love. That's great, but that's not where life is. See, life is only in the Word. It's only through God. It's only in Jesus. That's life. These other things we enjoy in balance. Some people think it's in food, you know? They live for food. They want, going out to eat is the best thing ever. Nothing wrong with going out to eat. We all like to go out to eat or eat our favorite foods. But man, we've all experienced this, even your favorite food. You have it too much, you know, you bake your favorite meal and then you have leftovers by the second, third, fourth day. It doesn't taste so good anymore. And it's your favorite meal. Because no matter what it is on earth, if we try to just pull from any one thing, it'll eventually lose it. It won't keep giving. You know, if you thought that life was, think about this. If you think life is really through relaxing and vacation, we've all been here too. I've been on vacations, but by the time I get at the end of it, it's like, man, I just want to get back to normal life. I want to hit it. If I just all the time relax and I was on a beach all the time doing nothing, I think we would all get tired of that. Eventually, we're not made just to relax. We're made to partake of God. All these other things are just in their place. If we keep it all in balance and say, hey, I enjoy this. I enjoy, you know, exercising, or I enjoy work, or I enjoy going on vacation, or I enjoy my favorite meal. But if all that stuff was taken away, I still have God. I still have life, because it says, the Bible says that He is life, and that life was the light of men. That life is what we draw from. So He's the Word. Jesus is the Word. The Word is life, and Jesus is the Word. So when we go back, let's turn back now to John 8:31, like we are reading. He says, if you abide in my Word, Jesus is the Word, He and His Word is Him. So His words are powerful. If you abide in my Word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So when we abide in the Word, in God, we've talked about just being in the presence of God. And part of that, now we've talked about, if we're abiding in the Word, then we're abiding in God. And when we do that, we will know the truth, because we'll be partaking of the Word, which is eternal, which is life. And we'll know then, it'll lighten our minds, we'll know the truth, and that truth will make us truly free in life. You know, we won't be bound to certain things, because we're not bound to anything thinking that's going to give us life or thinking that's going to set us free. We are looking to God to make us truly free, and only He can make us truly free. Make us so that we walk in complete truth, in fullness of life, in fullness of joy, and we walk with our Creator. See, if we think that we need something to survive apart from God, and you think about it, our bodies are created to have food and water, and that's true. But God created the body, so, I mean, when you get down to it, you don't need anything apart from God, truly. God created for us to have essentials. Now, I'm not talking about doing away with those, but if we think anything in life that we absolutely could not live without, anything, if we think we get to the point where, boy, I couldn't live without that, and it's not about God, then we have basically chained ourselves to that. Not that things aren't important in our life, but in our minds, if we get to the place where we just think we have to have certain things, we're really not free. We're really bound by something. We really think we have to have these different things. And the Word is what will come along and erase all that, so we'll see real freedom. We'll go around walking in God with God. You know, we want to walk after like Jesus did. He was not bound by anything. There was no iniquity in him. He wasn't bound by anything. He walked around truly free. And when we looked at to the Word, when we get to that Word to dominate our thinking, then that will make us truly free. That will make us free the way God wants us to be. And I'm just going to read a couple of these definitions that I read last week, just real quick, in review. It's the word know, to know the truth, is to perceive, to understand, recognize, gain knowledge, realize, come to know. This word is the knowledge that has an inception, a progress, and an attainment. So you start, we're all on this path. We've started gaining this knowledge. If we've really looked to the Word, that's the beginning of wisdom, true wisdom. If we've looked to the truth, the Word is producing in us life and producing in us truth and knowledge. We've begun to know the truth, and we're all on that road somewhere. None of us have attained. We're all on the road somewhere where we are somewhere in God's truth. We have things that we're not completely aware of, other things that we are, and we're all at different places. We all are at different phases, and God manages that whole thing, loves us all where we're at, and knows what the next thing that we need to work on is. He knows exactly what we need to get over the hurdle that we're facing. We don't. I mean, we can go look and seek all these books and look up, what do you got for me? We can go down to the library. What is on this subject? I need to get through with this problem. But if we'll go to the Word, the giver of life, the one that's eternal, He knows exactly where we need to go. He knows exactly where we are in knowing that truth. And He can just point us over here, get us over this, then point us over here, show her up this area. And pretty soon we're walking more free than we were before. And we really, all we did is put ourselves in the Word and start letting that Word change the way we think, which is what we're talking about today, meditating on the Word. When we let it change the way we think and let our thinking line up with the Word, then God just frees us up, and it's almost effortless. It's not like we're just sitting down saying, I'm going to get free. We give ourselves to the one that gives freedom and the Word that is truth that makes us free, and we become free. And so that's a progression. To know the truth, we're continually getting more and more free if we're continually staying in the Word. And then when we're free, it just means to liberate, to acquit, to make, to set free, to deliver. That we are completely free. It's not like we're kind of free and then we go back in, but that we are completely free. And that's the progress that we want to make. And the way we do that, part of, we spend time with God, we meditate in His Word. As we get to know Him, that's freedom. And I just want to go a little further today then and talk about meditating the Word. If you'll go to Proverbs 4:20, read this verse of Scripture, a few verses here. That kind of just puts it just sums it up. Proverbs 4, verse 20. Proverbs 4, verse 20 says, my son, just think of God talking to you. My son or daughter, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life. They are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. So verse 20, let's just read it again and talk a little bit about some of the different parts in here. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. So first of all, give attention to my words. We have to take all of our attention is on something, somewhere. We're giving every part of every day, our attention is somewhere. We're doing what we need to do going through the day. But in our subconscious, our back of our mind, our attention can be different places. And if we'll put it on God's Word, and we talked about this a little bit last week, if there's something, you're reading your Bible and it just jumps out at you, we don't have to keep running through it and go, oh, geez, I got another several verses I want to get through today so I can be done. you could just sit there. Just let God speak to you. Maybe you can't get past that. You just let it sit there and take it for the rest of the day with you and let it go over in your head. Give attention to His words. Give attention to His words. Incline your ear to His sayings. So that means, there's all this other junk that's telling you, in your life, maybe stuff you've heard, or this situations have to be like this, or this isn't going to work out, and it's just tempted to worry. You have to take your ear away from that and say, wait a minute, this is what the truth says, this is what the Word says, this is what God says, so I'm going to incline my ear over here. If you're in a crowded room, somebody's trying to talk to you, and there's all this noise going on, you're trying to hear this person. All this noise is going on, all these voices going on, but you say, I want to hear this person. And it's like that in life. And there are so many things that are yelling at us, trying to get us off. You have thoughts in your head that just are straight from the devil, that aren't godly, that are trying to get you away, trying to make you worried, trying to put you in fear, trying to get you away from the Word. And you have to incline your ear to God and say, no, He said this, so that's true. This is true. God is true. Regardless of what is going on over here, regardless of what this person's saying or this book is saying or the newscast is saying, God said this, so I'm going to incline my ear to His sayings. And if we incline, so it says, incline your ear to His sayings, do not let them depart from your eyes. Now that part, like I said, we don't have to walk around. I mean, what were you going to do? Hang it from your head and walk around with this thing in front of your face? A sheet of paper in front of your face all day? That's not practical. But what you can do is get something that's speaking to you or something you're trying to change your thinking in. You have an area that you just keep going back and there's, something that keeps tripping you up, but you've found something that God is speaking to you in His Word, and that's the answer. Then we just meditate on that. Just keep that before you. We don't have to have 50 things we're working on. If we have something specific in our life that we need to get taken care of, and we know that's God, where God has us, just put that before you. If you have to carry with you a verse of Scripture and remind yourself and look at it, or just you have it in your mind, and you just keep reminding yourself throughout the day, practically speaking then, you don't have to let them not depart from your physical eyes, but your mind's eye, just let them be there constantly. The words are there. You're putting your attention to God's words. You're not letting them depart from your eyes. In other words, you don't look at them for a while and then say, forget that. I'm going to go over here and pay attention over here for a while. Then if we want it to change our life, it's not works. It's not just trying real hard. It's just letting God change our thinking and putting that in front of us. And as we put that in front of us, it changes us because it's the truth. And then we start thinking about how God sees this situation instead of thinking about how whatever else has been influencing us to think about a situation. It says, keep them in the midst of your heart. You can just keep these truths, what God has said to you through His Word, keep it in the midst of your heart. And we said this last week, that people, we all do this, whether we know it or not. We keep something in the midst of our heart. And we are paying attention to things all the time, whether we know it or not. That's what worry is. It's just in the negative. If we're around, and every person on the face of the earth, if they've had any kind of stress in their life at all, has experienced this, if you get to the point where there is something bearing down on you and you have trouble removing it from your mind, because it's just trying to get to you, and you can go about your day. You're in the grocery store buying groceries, but you're not really there. Your mind is trying to figure out what is going on in this other situation. Or you're at home with your kids, but you're not really with your kids. You're over here and your mind's going on this situation. Well, we can flip that around to where when we're walking around, we can really be where we're supposed to be. But at the same time, instead of having this negative stuff spinning around, we just have the Word spinning around. It's just that He keeps him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, whatever. Just a verse of Scripture that can help us. We have that's going around in our head. that we just keep going. And that's just going around. And then we just keep it in the midst of our heart. And that's not easy all the time. It's not easy to stay focused on the Word all the time. It's not. But we can do it. God said, it says, I forget where it is, but to strive to enter the rest. What is that over in Hebrews? You work to enter the rest of God, which sounds contradictory. But it's sometimes like that because the world is trying to pull us away from the rest of God. It's trying to pull us away from the Word of God. And so we just have to push through and say, no, I'm going to meditate on what God says. And your mind will try to go back over to the way you've thought all your life. It's the way your mind's been programmed a certain way. It doesn't necessarily happen overnight. We have to purpose in our hearts to put the Word first and to just change our thinking. And it really comes down to our thinking. How we see a situation, how we see something, how we see it will determine how we react to it. And if we change our thinking, that's what meditating the Word is about, to where that we start letting that life dominate us and change our thinking, to where when we think about a situation, we don't think about it the way we used to. We've replaced that thinking with what God says. So we say, no, that's not true. What God says is true. I may feel all anxious about these situations, but God said He's my peace. He says He's my refuge. He says He's my fortress. And He said He'll keep me at perfect peace. So I'm going to be at peace. And pretty soon, if we'll do that, then our thinking changes to where it affects our life. When we come to a certain area of life, we are being changed by the Word. And as we come to a certain situation, the way we used to react has been changed to the way God says we should react. I mean, we just look at it differently. This happens. I mean, this is just the way God's Word changes our life, because it is truth. It will change our life. But this works. I mean, this is the same way in any natural area. I mean, the way we're thinking right now, we all have habits, good or bad. Habits, the way we operate. And they got there some way. The way they got there is, at some point in life, we started doing something a certain way. I mean, if you brush your teeth every night, that happened sometime along your life, or most of it's probably when we grew up, we were brushing our teeth. Our parents brushed our teeth for us every night. We got used to it. And so, you know, nighttime rolled around, and what's the thought that comes in our head? Well, you know, if you get into bed without brushing your teeth, you would feel funny, because you're used to brushing your teeth before you went to bed, because it was probably instilled into you by your parents. Pretty soon you were brushing your own teeth. And ever since, brushing and flossing your teeth, you've done that. And so now if you get into your bed without brushing your teeth, you feel, wait, something's missing. Your thought, your brain is trained to react a certain way. But there are other people that don't do that. They weren't trained. They don't do that. And that's not a thought that they have. It's not built in. When they go to bed, they can go to bed freely. And there's not something telling them, wait a minute, you're forgetting something. This is in every area of life, how we've programmed ourselves to act and think about a certain situation is the way we're going to react to it. It doesn't mean that the situation is any different. Me going to bed, or some other person that doesn't brush their teeth, I mean, this is a simplistic example, but it's just at the most basic level, we all do this. But in our everyday life, when we come to certain situations, we react the way we've been trained. If we get anxious on certain situations, or we hear certain things and we think, well, this is so, you know, the economy, everybody's saying the economy's bad, so I better watch it because I don't know if I'm going to have enough. Well, God said He's more than enough for us. He said He's our provider. He said no matter what, He'll take care of us. And He's proved it over and over in His Word, and He's given examples. So we can come to a situation and feel like, you know, well, the economy's bad, so basically the implication is I better watch out. I'm not saying we don't be wise in things, but if we realize that God said in His Word that regardless of the economy, He's going to take care of me, that's different thinking. Whereas some people come to that knowledge and say, oh gosh, what am I going to do? I don't know. I better be really careful because the economy is bad. If we can change our thinking to where, well, I don't, you know, economy may not be what it should be, but I'm hooked up with the God of the universe. So I don't care what happens. Not that I don't care, but regardless of what happens, God's not going to run out of resources. He owns the whole earth. I mean, he owns the resources. He has people in place that serve him. I will not be left out to dry. That, if we'll change our thinking there, then we'll have the different results. Then we'll look at the situation differently when, in fact, the situation was the same. It's how we looked at it because of our training and because of our previous thoughts. We either look at it in fear or we look at it in faith. And it's the same with every situation. The way we get there is by doing exactly what these verses are saying. In verse 21, do not let them depart. Proverbs 4:21, we're back there. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them. They're life and health to all their flesh. God's word is health to all our flesh. If we'll just let his word, we'll just let that change our thinking and let that be our final authority, then it's health to all our flesh. Physically, it's health. God's word is health. We'll change the way he thinks. You know, we need something in our body that's different. His word is health to all our flesh. It says in verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And just as we're going through, I mean, as we go endeavor to just let the Word of God change our thinking and meditate on the Word, go over and over it, there are going to be things that are going to continually try to pull us back. Because the Word is the answer. Because God is the Word and He is the answer. So if we start to say, look, and again, I am not talking about say, well, I have to bury myself in and I'm just going to do this. That is just another form of works. That says that, okay, now I see all the hoops I got to jump through. Now I have to do all this stuff to get my life changed. I'm not talking about that because that can just be a burden on you and it'll just crush you. It's just an exchange. It's just another form of work saying, okay, this is the method that we're going to get it from God. I'm just talking about going with God, with a relationship, letting Him do it, letting Him show us what we need to change, little by little doing what He said to do, and let Him make the changes in our life through His Word, though. If we'll just, all we do is like, you know, if you want a suntan, you go to the suntan shop and you get in the bed and you put yourself under the light, and you come out, and your skin is different than it was before. The thing you did is you put yourself under the light, but you did not change your skin. It's a big difference. If you think you have to change your skin and do it and whatever, that's a big difference from saying, you know what, I'm going to let God do it. All I'm going to do is give His Word place, because His Word's life. He knows I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. He knows what I need to change. I'm going to put it before Him. You know, I'm going to get the Word just before me, and I'm going to let that Word change me. And as we meditate on it and let that change us, just through, you know, just letting it, keeping it in the midst of our heart, putting our attention on it, and it's just changing us. There are going to be forces that are going to try to get that Word out of us, because that's the answer. It's just like that you know, we read many weeks ago, you know, but the proverb parable of the sower. Satan is here to get the word. He will try to steal the word from us. And so if he'll do it at whatever stage he can, and if he knows you're endeavoring to just let that word stay in your heart, he is going to do whatever he needs to do to get you distracted, to get you discouraged, to get you to take your attention off the word. You've said, I'm going to incline my ear onto the word, and that's the answer. I'm going in that direction. He is going to do everything he can to start shouting across the room to get you to look away at the word. Because if you get the word in your heart, it will make you free. And if you're free, that's another person on the face of the earth that has let the word of God dominate them, let the word of God change them, and they're free. Now you are a force to be reckoned with because you can't be made captive again. But he's not. He will not want. He does not want that to happen. He hates God. He hates anybody that loves God, and he wants to stuff the truth so that he can reign on this earth through people yielding to him and looking to him. That's what he's done from the beginning. He tricked Adam and Eve, trying to get them to look to him instead of God. He is jealous of God. He hates God, and he's out to get anybody that would try to put God's truth in their lives. So it's not like that's why it says to keep your heart with all diligence. Because you just, not again, like, oh boy, I'm just going to hunker down. But just be faithful. Just stay on top of it. Don't expect it to be just this cakewalk that, well, I'm going to put the word in so everything in my life is just going to magically change. It will change with the word. But just stay, just believe. Don't. I guess my point is, when you incline your ear to God and start looking to his word, don't be surprised when all hell breaks loose trying to get you to look away from it. That's not weird. That's not. I'm not trying to say that everything has to go wrong or anything. I'm just saying, don't be surprised that you the moment you say, no, I'm going to let God dominate here, I'm going to change my thinking, that there feels like there's resistance for that not to happen. It's like, it's like there's obstacles trying to get you to stop doing what you endeavored to do. These distractions, these things happening. You say, I'm going to start just looking at one verse and letting that come to me. And it's just like there's this thing trying to make that not happen. That's not by mistake. And I'm not saying we have authority and God is going. He'll bring us right through everything. My point is, I think people get discouraged sometimes when I've seen it in my life. You think, I'm trying to do the thing I think I'm supposed to do, and it seems like it's getting harder for a while. Well, I tell you what, if Satan can get you to quit right away, like it says over in that parable, if he can steal the word immediately, he'll do it. If he can steal it after there's some stuff coming at you for the word's sake, he'll do it. But it does say, if you don't let any of that, if you let the word get in you and let it change you, it will yield fruit. It will yield a crop. It cannot be stopped. It cannot be, that process will not be cut off. We just, if we meditate on the word and go forward with it and just let it change us and don't be deterred, just stay steadfast and just let God's word do the work, no matter what, we'll see the changes in our lives. But when we've had stuff that's been programmed into our head for 10, 20, 30 years, God's word will break that and change it. But just like any kind of habit, unless God miraculously sets you free from something like that, you're dealing with your flesh. Your flesh and your mind have been going down a certain way, and it's just going like this day after day. And you're saying, wait a minute, you're not going to go that way anymore. You're going over here. And there's a resistance to that. Just even naturally, your flesh, it wants to do certain things. Your mind, it wants to think a certain way. And we take it by the word of God and say, no, you're going to go over here. I'm going to think like this. This is what God says, so it's true. I know it's truth, and I know it'll change me. And when we meditate on the word and think about God's word and start going over here instead of going over here, this is God's truth, and go away from this, which isn't God's truth, then we see the change. Then we see the fruit. Then we see the crop coming up, and we see the difference in our life, and we see that we're free. But it's a process. It's that knowing that comes from just letting that truth be in front of us. Thank God that he has given us his word. He didn't make it hard. He didn't make it hard, but we strive to enter the rest that he's provided. Thank you, Lord.